Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Few things we did not sync up on, like Pokemon and that kind of Power Rangers. I don't know if you watched
Power Rangers. No, I was never a Power Rangers fan.
Yeah, I mean, I played Yu-Gi-Oh, but I played every card game.
I was too busy getting pussy.
Yeah, okay. When you were like what, 12? you were just old enough for Pokemon to be kind of like, eh.
Pokemon happened when I was in high school, because I remember it pretty succinctly. I was in my new house. It was like I was 17 at that time.
Okay, yeah. So for me, it was middle school.
I was too busy hunting Tang. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Roll for Tang.
Yeah,
you failed.
Roll to try and seduce the orc maiden.
I rolled a one.
Not only do you fail to seduce the orc maiden, but she takes offense to your comments and removes your genitals from your body. She places it into a large sack with more genitals.
Well, you mate with her, but she then eats you afterwards.
Like a mantis.
Roll up a new character.
So there's a few things that we don't, connect on. However, we are still from the sports card breakdown decade, because sports cards died.
It was a fairly quick death too. Well,
they were sports cards was a sports cards were a phenomenally huge industry. Yeah. They were gigantic, but the late 80s and early 90s just fucking killed it. They produced so much product. The product was so bad, so cheap, and so worthless.
Yeah.
Nobody collected it.
Not to mention, there was also on there the strike of, was it 93 also?
That was a huge part of it. And now baseball cards and sports cards are produced as a more high-end product that they're catering to older people, because kids don't give a fuck.
No.
Kids barely give a fuck about sports. Of course, yeah. And they definitely don't give a fuck about fucking football or baseball cards.
Yeah.
But a lot of older collectors do. So, like, you're not selling... you're not selling $20 boxes of fucking sports cards. You're selling $200 boxes.
Yeah, and
boxes
plus you want to get a nice clipping of Jimmy Jablonski's sports team jersey.
Well, yeah, that was a huge innovation in the sports collecting thing, where they're like, oh, here's memorabilia cards. Like, it's a piece of his fucking dick or something. And you're like, wow, I got a piece of fucking Carl Yastrzemski's dick.
I got Jimmy Jablonski's foreskin.
Jimmy Jablonski. He's a Mexican hand dancer.
Yes. I always call him the Southside Vampire. Yeah.
That name is from... Our mutual acquaintance Joe, who uses the name Jimmy Jablonski, and then his job is always the Mexican hand dancer. He's like, I'm like, hey Joe, you want to play some D&E? And he's like, can I be Jimmy Jablonski, Mexican hand dancer? And I'm like, no, you can't. He's like, but I've got a background written. Like, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking. I don't know if it got caught on the podcast, but we were talking about Garbage Pail Kids, because Steve's got some sick little statuettes of Garbage Pail Kids.
They're mega vinyl collectors.
And I was saying, that's the reason I found out that I didn't like sports as much, is because I'd always gravitate towards, hey, look, here's some Garbage Pail Kid cards. These are way more interesting than seeing Ken Griffey Jr.'s box scores.
gross.
I really didn't care that in 1987, Nolan Ryan batted .25. Who gives a fuck?
I don't know if you can see mine, but there's one with a big, like, fucking TV for a head, and that's TV Stevie.
TV Stevie.
Yeah. There's no Joe. There's no Joe, though.
No.
Not yet.
And then there was always and then of course I got to, like, I was like, wait, they have comic book cards? Fuck yeah.
Wolverine.
I got the Wolverine holographic foil card.
You're a DC guy, right?
I'm both. I'm very omnisexual when it comes to comic books.
All right. Well, as long as you like DC.
I do. I mean, I don't like the new DC stuff. The new DC stuff's terrible.
The new Marvel stuff's terrible.
Well, the new stuff, since they did the battle. I'm not going to get too much into it, but they did this whole Battle World thing with the Secret Wars, and it's bad. That wasn't good.
I mean, comics have been bad. Both sides have been bad for quite some time.
Yeah,
Although, you know what's really good?
I really like Civil War.
You know what's really good for... Oh, the double Civil War? Fucking so stupid. It's like, we already did a successful event. Let's do it a fucking again. The same one.
I'm talking like, this is like mid-2000s.
Oh, you're talking the original Civil War.
Yeah.
Because they're doing another one, right?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But that's because they're doing the movie, so they want to do cross promotion.
I liked Civil War and then didn't because they like. This is a problem I have with comics. We can just segue this, and it's in the video games too, or in anything really, anything that's a world. So like, D&D. Like a little laptop. It's a little business laptop. It's just a baby. It'll grow up into a big boy later. It's an issue I have with anything that's a long-standing world. And this is one of the things actually I think is kind of cool about Age of Sigmar. I don't think the background.
Oh, we're talking Age of Sigmar.
This is no. This
I didn't
is,
want to talk about Age of Sigmar anymore. It just,
it's actually a good example because the Warhammer world is one of the things.
Yeah.
The Privateer Press, War Machine Hordes background. That's one of the things of this. The established worlds for anything, games, movies, comics, I fucking hate when they do, like, this is an earth-shattering event.
Yeah.
Because nothing fucking happens. There's, like, a bunch of drama you read about, and you're like, wow, this is a really exciting moment, and nothing actually happens.
Well, what about 1984's Crisis on Infinite Earths?
In fucking, well, yeah, Crisis destroyed the DC universe,
It was the first major one, and it actually did have, like, major repercussions
that,
for
But
years.
I would be so bold as to say that, like, Crisis was probably the only one that actually, like, stuck with most of the stuff it did.
Well, actually, Crisis.
I mean, Flash. But there's also Flashpoint. Like, Flashpoint created the new 52. So,
yeah. I mean, like, yeah, the essentially all the way up until Final Crisis, which is the which was the one that just happened recently that made absolutely no sense. But from from Crisis on Infinite Earths to Infinite Crisis, let's just say it was fairly important DC Universe continuity. Like, you could pick up any book from 1984 to about 2005, and it's all one big continuity, and you can understand it. So about 20 years of continuity.
But
30 years.
At the end of the day,
20 years.
Everything's different, but nothing has changed.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And that's the thing. That's the problem I have, where they're like, this is a major event. Like, I'll use Civil War, because that was what you were talking about. Like, Civil War, fucking, like, I can't remember his name. He's like Black Vulcan. I don't know. He's a big black dude who, like, grows. That's
Goliath.
His power. Goliath. Okay. Very good. Black Vulcan's a DC character.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember the name of the one from Marvel.
Actually, he just goes by Vulcan now.
Okay. Does he?
I think so.
Oh, man. Dude, Black Vulcan is fucking hype.
I agree that most black characters in the comic book universe should not have to have the moniker Black before their names.
Well, I mean, his costume was all black. Like,
what's your name? Static.
Static Shock.
I like, hey, Static Black Shock. Static, come over here.
Black Static.
It's not Black Static. It's just Static. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm just used to it. I know.
So Goliath
gets Cyborg.
Goliath gets killed by Thor in Civil War. Spoiler alert. If you didn't read Civil War, the fucking, like, 10 years ago it came out.
Yeah.
Sorry. But that's it. That's all that really happens. Like, they say happen.
Steve Goliath wasn't actually Goliath. He was a Skrull.
You know what I mean.
I know. It feeds more into your theory.
Yeah. It's just like they make these things up, and I hate that. And I will say one of the things that is positive about the Age of Sigmar background, and I could tie this right into the game here, the background's really bad, but at least they're like, yep, this happened.
Well, actually,
like, all this shit, dead.
Well, what I kind of like about the Age of Sigmar background, the new stuff, is that it's no longer chaos is going to destroy the old world. It's chaos is creeping into the old world. This one, it's more about the forces of good are like, fuck you, evil, we're taking it to you. Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I don't
We're gonna snap into a Slim Jim and then snap your neck, brother. Bone saws coming for you.
Bone saws ready. Speaking of professional wrestlers, did you hear Roddy Piper died?
Yes, we've had a long conversation about Roddy Piper yesterday, where I found out that I know infinitely too much about 1980s and 1990s wrestling than I care to admit that I know.
I fucking love wrestling. I'll sum up wrestling entirely like this. This is my stance on wrestling. Most of wrestling is very bad, but when wrestling is good, it's fucking great.
I mean, like, here, my thing with wrestling is, it's kind of like when you're talking about with Power Rangers and Pokemon and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you're supposed to grow out of. And the people who don't grow out of it...
Arguably.
The people who don't grow out of it, by the time they hit their 30s and their 40s, you kind of got to do a reexamination of your life.
Yeah. I don't watch wrestling, but, like, I'll watch WrestleMania.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is, like... But, I mean, if you're following it regularly... Like, we were at...
Following it, I don't do. But I'll watch WrestleMania. And I sometimes like watching the... old stuff. I made a recent new friend who has the WWE Network thing, and apparently everything that wrestling has ever done is fucking on there.
Yeah.
So you could just be like, I want to watch the WrestleMania where fucking Andre the Giant fights Hulk Hogan. Boop. And it's just like, it's there. Yeah, it's like, I want to watch the, I watched the Undertaker. I was like, do they have fucking Undertaker Mankind Hell in the Cell? And he's like, yeah, they do. I'll put it on for you. And I was like, fuck yeah.
The but yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you could go back and you can enjoy it. It's like the people like with Power Rangers or Pokemon. It's like, you can go back, enjoy it for a little bit. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to move on with my life. But there's the people who are still like 40 years old. And they're like, have you seen what's going on with John Cena's fucking dick?
John Cena's the fucking funniest thing in the world right now.
I don't know what any of
there's
that
a,
is.
There's a,
I got out of wrestling pre-Cena.
I should have sent it to you, but there's a there's a video of the Avengers at the end where he's like, he's Hulk's about to punch the fucking giant thing.
Yeah.
And Captain America's like, Bruce, now's a good time for you to get mad. And he's like, don't worry, I'm always, and his face turns into John Cena, and it's like, John Cena! And he's just, like, punching it. It's fucking ridiculous. And the John Cena theme starts playing. Burr, burr,
burr. Yeah, I wouldn't
it's
get
funny.
That.
It's
but
funny.
Anyway, so let's actually get to what we're here about. We got a couple things going up, big things today. We only went 10 minutes.
We can go a million minutes.
Do you want to do...
We can go a million minutes together.
Let's do this first.
Rubbing
okay.
hands and wieners.
Something I'm really excited about.
Game Classy.
By the way, welcome to Game Classy. My name is Joe, and with me, as always, is the blue to my Bagheera, Steve.
Game Classy.
Arena Rex!
Joe's opening a box that says Arena Rex on it. My boner.
My jams. Do you hear it?
My boner.
Do you hear it? Do you
my
hear
boner.
It? Give me. Yeah, baby. All right, so the guys from Arena Rex, the one guy from Arena Rex, the guy who's running it,
their fucking pimp ass game
sent us kind of like a starter pack. And like originally this is how it went. It was like, yeah, he said, it's like, love your podcast. Want to send you some stuff so you guys can do some stuff. I'm like, yeah, it's always great. You know, you give us a couple things, you know, I might keep something for myself, give it out to the
listeners.
Listeners or whatever else have you.
We're not giving anything to you.
No,
listeners.
You listeners get shit on this one. He sent us like the perfect amount for two starter sets, and me and Steve are gonna start the fuck out of this game.
Yeah.
Here I put your stuff a little separate.
Who did you keep? He sent Joe two factions. I gave
this
Joe,
one's yours. You get the lion guy.
I gave Joe the
that's your rule book, by the way.
Very good. I gave Joe the the go ahead to keep which one he preferred.
Yeah,
I made no comment. Motherfucking
these
lying.
Guys are yours. I believe these guys are yours.
All right, let's see what we got yeah. here.
You got most of the Legio 13 guys, like the ex
Aquila.
Yeah.
What else we got?
Flavius.
Oh, this guy's fucking cool. He's all fucking like grody.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the dude who looks like Caesar. Yeah. Sulla.
This is. All
right, so I got Sulla. I got Gaius Paladus. I got Aquila, and I got the lion, who is just a lion.
That
it's cool.
And also, so I took the basic gladiator pack. So I got Micah and the Mighty.
Oh yeah, so you got the dude doing the fucking pump pose.
Yeah,
he's all pumped.
And I also kept for myself. The Medusa, Gorgon.
The Gorgon?
The Gorgon
is
Medusa.
Is it even part of a faction?
No, like the lion is like some separate thing.
Okay.
So I went through it. It's very much three to eight figures per side. Three is like a starter.
Three to eight,
well,
which is awesome.
And okay, so that's what they say. Now, I'm sorry to Arena Rex over here, but I don't think you need eight figures. I think eight figures is getting a little too crazy.
Like any miniatures game, when they say the blank to blank, you should probably be at the minimum or the middle.
Yeah, I would say probably the game works best when you hit five or six.
Yeah,
which is, seven or eight gets a little crazy.
Which is my opinion about most miniatures games. Just like I talk about War Machine and Hordes a lot, and I think War Machine and Hordes is an excellent game at 25 or 35 points. But nobody fucking plays at that point level. Well, everyone plays at 50. And they're talking about moving to 75. It's insane.
Well, there's also a couple, like, there's basically the game kind of works like confrontation. It's not confrontation in any way, shape, or form, but it works like confrontation in that every character has its own little stat card. these are the things you could do. These are the special rules that he can do. And there's also in the game, there's these little, there's like these, I think they're called Noxious or something like that. Noxios or something. They're like the little dudes who just, they're designed to get killed.
I like the time stamped background. That's really cool.
Yeah. The background is all really cool in there. All the factions are.
It's an alternate history where Rome never lost.
Yeah.
Rome actually not only did not fall, but fucked everyone up.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I haven't actually played a game against someone else. I kind of did like I played out the two factions versus each other, just doing it myself, kind of figuring out how it goes. Pretty interesting.
Also, I'd like to point out that it's a miniatures game that has a token requirement for fatigue. And do you know what your models come with? A fucking fatigue token.
Yeah, you can get fatigued. You can get uber fatigued.
It's just nice when you know a game comes with a token that you need to play the game.
And it's not a punch out token. It's actually a resin.
It's
token.
It's a nice resin token. You can paint it up. Looks cool.
Yeah. All the figures are. I went through these. There's like zero nastiness on them. They're all gorgeously cast, gorgeously sculpted.
Nice resin.
It's not the cheap stuff. If you could find any small scale skirmish game, you could buy this. You could buy your starter set, about three figures, the rule book, and dice. You could get for about $100, which is fantastic. And I would say, you know, splurge a little bit.
That even depends on what figures you're getting. Most of the figures are like $20.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
They're definitely larger than.
They're 32s.
The normal, and then they are. The sculpts are great, and I said this game falls into the category of cheap-spensive.
Yeah.
Where, like, I would never in my life pay $20 for a figure if I needed 30 of them.
Yeah.
Like, each. But if I need three, that sounds like a cheap game to me. Like,
easy,
inexpensive starter. And, like, the model quality is high.
Yeah. I texted Steve when I got the box. I'm like, holy shit.
I think this will be the first. This might be the first game we build, play, and actually review on Game Clancy.
Could very well be. I took this by
our first review
by Golden Demon Winner and Slayer Sword Winning Timmy Lyson's house the other day, and I was like, "Look at these figures." He's like, "Ooh, these are nice." And he's like, "Let's go look at the website." And so we looked at the website, and there's a dude riding a scorpion. Tim almost came.
That's my favorite. That's the Egyptians.
I think it's the Egyptians.
Yeah, that was also the first thing I responded to when I texted Joe. I was like, "Did he send Egyptians?"
No.
And I was like, "Damn! All right, I'll take whichever one you don't want because I fucking my Egyptology boner is mighty."
Well, yeah, you got
I got the fucking Romans.
By the way, I think it's tonight or maybe tomorrow night. I think it's tomorrow night. The Oriental Museum in downtown Chicago is doing like a 1920s Indiana Jones night. And that's when I say Oriental Institute, it's all Egyptian and stuff like that.
I believe saying Oriental is racist.
Well, that's what it's called. University of Chicago.
You might as well have just said.
That's where Indiana Jones literally. Yeah, that's like where he worked.
Where he went and got his degree in archaeology,
okay. I think it was from the University of Chicago. Good.
The beginning of all things is small.
Yeah,
I actually really like the little digest rule book.
I like that it's $7.
Yeah, it's cheap.
And it's not bad quality
either. It's digest size.
Yeah.
Digest size rule books are my favorite because you can read them easily while on the shitter. Like, I've been reading the War of the Rings rule book for a workshop, and I'm just like, this thing is so big and unwieldy while I'm pooping.
That's a nice book, though.
It's a great book.
All right, so that was the first thing that got sent to us. Highly recommend it. Go to the website, buy a couple figures. Get some friends into it.
Yeah, we got some people drooling over them on the classy page.
Also, we got another what's in the box, and I want you to hear the thump of this.
Jesus Christ. Is it bricks?
I don't know. It feels like bricks. We got... by the way, this comes from... This comes from Scott Anderson. So
Scanderson.
Scanderson. He sent us this.
I recognize that name from...
Middle Earth role playing. Look at that.
That's fucking sick. Yeah.
Good old merping. Look, Steve, it's filled out.
This excites me more than any of the D&D books you've ever produced here. This is like this is a game that I always wanted to play, but I never did.
Look.
I I am so excited about
this. It's got the
old
Angus McBride artwork on the cover.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. Look at Aragorn and Boromir. Like, they look amazing.
They all look, Boromir wrote, is that Boromir with the sick mustache?
Yeah, Boromir's
oh,
got
yeah,
the sick
mustache.
Oh, yeah,
he's got the horn, I see. Yeah. He's got a sick,
Boromir has
sick
a
mustache.
Sick fucking 80s mustache, and Legolas, he's thin. They're,
that's a 70s stash, dude. They had a little taper on the end, that's 70s.
Yeah, that's fair. They're a little, like, similar to the Bakshi.
Yeah,
Lord
very,
of the Rings.
Very similar.
Minus the fact that in Bakshi, Boromir was a Viking.
And minus the fact that in Bakshi, everything was grotesque and disturbing.
Yeah. The proportions and, like, styles are a little like that. I mean, this is obviously much better looking.
Like, I mean, like, look at that sick Gimli right there with that little hat on with the feather.
Yep. Yeah, Gimli looks fucking boss.
And, he does. That's my Gimli right there.
Right by Samwise. He's got a big-ass backpack.
All
right.
What else we got
Sting
here?
Wow, dude. This is amazing. I love this.
We got... Dread.
This is something that I desire.
We got Dread, the first book of Pandemonium. I have no idea what that is.
Oh, this is done by the guy who did Lucius Nocturne, which is a Lamentations of the Flame Princess bestiary.
Yeah.
Lamentations of the Flame Princess, I've jizzed about before on the podcast, but they are he does like fucked up weird shit. That's what this guy does.
We got a 2 D&D Second Ed Player's Handbook and Dungeon Master's Guide.
Nice. Well, that's a good addition to your collection.
Well, I have these already.
Well, now you get to double down.
I can. All right.
These are pretty cool. This Raphael Chandler book. Turdock.
What's this?
Demons.
Iron and Honor: War Games Rules for Fantasy Skirmish. It's like he actually sent us like photocopies.
Yeah. Well, it's probably because I talk about fantasy skirmish games all the time.
Probably. Interesting.
Okay, this is an RPG. This Raphael Chandler book looks like an RPG, kind of in like the White Wolf style. There's let me see a character.
I think
sheet
these
here.
Are some Dark Age figures. You could tell me that. Those look like Dark Age figures. Oh, sweet! Assault group.
Yes, they're Dark Age figures. These are Brood.
Check this out.
These are Brood.
Mounted Mongol general from the assault group.
Nice.
He sent... Uh-oh.
That's right up your alley.
He sent a micro USB. I bet you there's something important on here. Like some government-level secrets.
Oh, shit. We gotta find out. Hey. Yeah. Hey, honey bunny.
Well, here's a letter, so it might tell us what's on
oh,
it.
Oh, good.
So. All right.
It's only 512 megabytes, so it can't be a lot of stuff.
Well...
We got a secret USB from a listener. Yeah.
Okay. So, Hello, gentlemen. Your treasure trove includes the following items: a printed copy of Iron and Honor by Red Turban Press, a generic fantasy skirmish great game, great for quick games and introducing new players in mini gaming; a printed copy of Brink of Battle by Robert Frost, the poet.
What? He wrote minis rules.
Two roads diverge in a winter wood. You choose the left. Roar.
You starve to death in the woods.
A historical generic mini skirmish game. It is more complex and a wealth of options for playing historical skirmishes in any era. A fantasy supplement available on their website. This is a great game my friends and I are currently hooked on. I purchased both of these PDFs legally in printed copies for your perusal. So you bought it legally, but you're distributing it illegally.
Not distributing. You can print for... This would be considered personal use.
Yeah. For Steve... A copy of Dread by Raphael Chandler. He is the author of the recent Lucius Nocturne. This is his first RPG, and it's awesome.
It's really cool looking. I'm excited
and
about it.
Some Dark Age Forsaken minis. So there we go. Steve, for Joe.
I misidentified them as Brood, but...
Yeah. The for Joe, old AD&D books, old MERP basic box. Ha! The MERP is mine.
Fuck! Damn you! I now hate you.
Some generic historical minis, a flash drive for some awesome metal with some awesome metal on it. It's all M4 AI Tunes format. Bands include Opeth, Elven King, Amon Amarth, Ghost Bath.
Elven King's amazing.
And Agalok. Agalok.
Elven King's amazing.
Okay.
Sick. I assume the metal
is for
your
mouth
then.
Holes, incredible, if a little word, weird, Mexican candy. Cheers, Scott Anderson and William Bendick.
Awesome.
Mexican candy, Steve.
Oh, it was two guys.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott Anderson. Thank you, William Bendick. Although I am hurt that you didn't give me the MERP book. But thank you so much. I'm super into this Dread. I do like Raphael Chandler.
Oh, this is they're in Las Vegas.
You guys are in Vegas? That's hype.
Viva Las Vegas.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire.
Here's some more Dark Age,
got
guys.
A whole lot of money that's ready to burn. Gonna get much higher. Viva Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. I fucking love Elvis.
Thank you for the Mexican candy as well. We are from Chicagoland, so we have a huge Mexican candy selection to avoid here, but it's always good to get stuff.
And I think these are scarred.
Steve will be receiving most of this Mexican candy because see here. I am on a diet.
Jesus Christ, these are called Swinkles.
Swinkles?
Salsa Getty.
Yeah, these are scarred.
Rolito de guayaba con cajeta y nuez. Las Sabinayas.
I have no idea what that is. They said these were Dark Age Forsaken, but I believe I need to school them and say that these are scarred and these are brewed.
Okay.
Just that. That's
some sort
all, really.
Of some sort of cone full of crap.
You never had one of the cone candies?
No.
No.
Racaleta?
I'm gonna try a salsa sketty.
This is four chili
salsa
layers.
Getty. Man, I've never this is exciting.
Milk candy
weird.
I've had Del Puesta before. You can have the Del Puesta.
Racaleta. It's a four chili layered lollipop.
Don't eat that on the podcast.
I'm not going to eat it on the podcast. Just, I'm excited.
Here's some soft milk candy.
What's in there? An almond? No.
It's a pecan.
Pecan.
Yeah.
Huh.
This is
exciting.
I believe this is some sort of marshmallow candy treat. So. And I think he sent us tortillas.
Mexican candy.
Milk candy.
They're milk chocolate tortillas.
Milk candy wafer, huh? Interesting.
They're candy tortillas.
You can have fun with the Mexican candy.
I will eat it and I will review it.
No offense.
I will review it later.
No offense to Scott and William, but I am on a diet, so I'm trying to cut a lot of sugar out of my diet.
Well, yeah. I appreciate it immensely.
Yeah.
I mean,
plus I get the merps, so.
I'm just going to eat the... I'm just going to try a lot of these things. I don't think I'm going to end up eating them. Although that four chili flavored lollipop looks fucking intensely good.
Also,
they must only get these delicious Mexican treats because they live so close to the border.
We get them and we're nowhere near the border of Canada.
What's this?
We get those shitty ones that are squishing strawberry.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we get pastries, the ganistos and stuff.
Yeah.
But I've never seen any of these candies.
Bimbo.
Yeah, yes. The Bimbo products.
Bimbo stuff, yeah. Well, Bimbo is located like 10 minutes from here.
Yeah, well,
so.
I mean, we get the Bimbo products. I've seen those, of course, and I've had them. And ganisto snack cakes with the duck, they're delicious.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm fucking excited about this Dread game.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'm a little upset about is that Scott did not send us a postcard. We've gotten postcards with like the last few of these, and I've had them up on my fridge.
But he sent us the nice
letter. He did send us a lot of nice stuff, so I'm not arguing
and
anyway.
William. Do not forget,
and well, yeah, William as well. I'm kind of excited about this Merping and this Mongol general. I kind of want to paint him up.
Man, look at this handsome woman.
That is some tentacles on the vagina.
I believe that is not on the vagina. I believe that's instead of.
Instead of, whatever, same thing.
Yeah, Raphael Chandler. That image sums him up.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, so
it's fucking sweet. I'm trying to find the character sheet though. There we go.
So,
nice. And this, you know what? This is really cool right here. I just got to throw out. This is a RPG thing. This is the character sheet. Ready? Name, drive, which would I assume be your incentive. Discipline, maybe that's a training thing. I don't know. Strength, sense, soul, combat, magic, armor, fury, life, cash. Those are your stats. And then there's everything else as a list. So this looks very White Wolf to me. It's got the three. The three groups, which was in White Wolf, was physical, social, mental. It's probably not D10s or anything, but I like simple character sheets for a lot of games. I think D&D gets away with a lot of overcomplexity because it's D&D.
Yeah, I mean, it's overcomplexity, but it's you don't really use a lot of that complexity. You know, it's like
You use whatever you use.
Yeah.
Like, when you're playing a role-playing game, you use whatever you use. And that's something I tried to...
I would
to,
say about 50% of the shit that goes into generating a character in D&D is never used.
That was one of the things I was trying to explain to someone who's not... a new guy in my work who's really into... he's really into comics. He's older than both of us. And he was definitely prime age for the RPG golden age.
Yeah.
You know, like the late 70s, early 80s.
Just never got into it.
Never got into it. And I'm like, you know what? I was like, how could you, like, he's a huge nerd. I'm like, how did you not get into it? And he's like, well, every one of my friends played. I was just never into it. And I'm like, that's fucking weird.
So, he's like, I'm too busy chasing pussy.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
All right.
Definitely not. I was trying to explain about how role-playing games are, like, there's, like, a weird thing. And I blame D&D, Wizards of the Coast, specifically for this, because of 3rd edition. Because 3rd edition, and this obviously was not during the golden age of the RPG, because the golden age of the RPG had the most creative. They had, like, MERP and, like, lots and lots of innovative and their own things. It did have rifts, to be fair. But
and GURPS.
Yeah, well, GURPS was, you know, GURPS is an interesting side story that I'll get to maybe another day, but GURPS was the biggest.
We covered GURPS before quite heavily on this podcast.
Biggest, and now it's nothing.
Anyway, finish your story with this guy so we can move on.
D&D, 3rd edition specifically, brought in so many mechanics, so many rules, and they made it more of a, and they required miniatures, so they made it more of a board game than a role-playing game. And not even necessarily a board game, but they made it a tabletop game. Like, they made it a game. Yeah. And I understand that's kind of similar to the original because, you know, chainmail. Because D&D came from miniature wargaming.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was Gygax and his bros like, man, I wish we could tell a story about the swordsman. Like, and it probably came about because, like, you've played Warhammer. Yeah. I played Warhammer. You know those games where, like, the one fucking Empire swordsman, like, doesn't break.
Steve, did it come from Fluffy Bunnies?
No.
It came from Fluffy Bunnies, Steve.
It came from people having fun playing
miniatures games. It came from Fluffy Bunnies. I just listened to that thing that, because we were asking for clips to put on for the 100th episode. And
James Brandt provided all of them.
Not all of them are good, but the Fluffy Bunnies one, The Birth of the Supervillain, is pretty funny.
I listen to all of them as myself as well. The Birth of the Supervillain is really funny. The best part is when you listen to the older casts, you hear about, you can see how our personalities have changed over the years.
Yeah, I mean, of course, everyone gets changes and everything. But like, it's fun. And we're going to get into that one because guess what Steve is into right now?
But so D&D, they made it more of a game, like focused more on the rules than the fun. And I think that's ruined a huge crop of people who should be good at role playing,
yeah.
But now they're not. They're like, I've said it before, I've mentioned it before, but I gotta hammer it again. It's when the fucking nerdo comes into my store and goes like, oh man, I had a great character with one time. He was a paladin, he had 17 strength, and he had this spell and this spell and this magic item, and he does this much damage, and I took these feats so he could do this and that. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Get the fuck out of my face, you idiot.
You idiot.
But... And I hate that, and everyone hates that.
Playing Eldar.
That's like a fucking meme of the gaming world, where it's like, let me tell you about my character. But they don't actually tell you about their character or their character's adventures. They tell you about their character's fucking stats, special rules, feats, whatever combos they took. They don't tell you, like, we were in a dungeon, and there was a evil necromancer in the dungeon, and we'd never fought a necromancer before. So when the skeletons came out, oh, my character was terrified, and we all had to struggle deeply to get over our fears. You know,
we struggled that deeply that day, my friends. Yeah. Let me tell you.
Like, but you know what? If some nerdo told me that story, I'd be like, cool. How'd you take out the necromancer? Like, I would want to hear more because it's a fucking story.
Wait. How did you take out the evil necromancer?
My bad.
As opposed to the good necromancers.
You know what? There a lot of people go down the path of necromancy with good intentions.
Yeah, well, it's trying to hell.
Trying to bring back dead loved ones. You know, they're like, I'll bring them back, and then suddenly they've got skeletons.
Well, that would be me. It'd be like, why use your powers for evil when you use your powers for good? I want to use my powers to raise skeletons.
Fuck good or evil, I'm making a skeleton army. Yes.
Everything is skeleton themed. You're like banners with skeletons.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Skeletons holding banners with skeletons on them.
I would sit on the throne that's made of bones, that's got the two skulls for like where my hands would rest and the two skulls above my shoulder. And it would be like the Sorcerer's Apprentice. I'd be like, boom, boom.
Just skeletons, yeah, exactly. Fucking cleaning.
Yeah. And I'd have if I was a wizard, I would wear like the red cloak with the big blue pointy hat, and that would be me. I'd be like, bum 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 bum. Skeletons.
Nice. Skeletons. Skeletons like, are fucking sweet.
They're like, we have to kill you, evil necromancer. I'm not evil. I just like raising skeletons. Yeah. Does that make me evil?
Just be like, I have a bunch of skeletons. You're like, kill me, skeletons? And then fucking just millions of skeletons roll on them. Yeah. But yeah, that's what I want to. Like, I want to hear. I would love to hear about your characters and what your characters did. I don't want to hear about how you exploited rule A or fucking comboed rule B.
Yeah,
but
that shit.
But that became
me.
The game because they did not have any of the because there used to be like explicit sections of RPG books that talked about your creativity and how the Dungeon Master arbitrates your creativity in the new books. And new DMs, people who started DMing in third edition, don't have that ability either. Like, if a character says they want to do something,
let them try.
There shouldn't be that shouldn't mean the game is paused while everyone thumbs through books trying to find rules for it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the mentality of the third edition RPG.
Yeah.
Which is why I think a lot of people like 5th edition, because 5th edition came, like, pulled a lot of that back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not perfect, but it pulled a lot of that back.
When you only have, like, 6 books to pull from, it's a lot easier, too.
Just design-wise. Like, there's no, like, feats, in my opinion, are the death of Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, I hated feats. I hated that they had fucking combo feats. I hated that there were prerequisite feats that... Ugh, so bad. It's like, I want to take this feat because it's really cool. Let's my character like do a jump. And it's like, oh, well, you have to take these 3 feats first. I'm like, what?
That's dumb.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, let's move past it because I want to make fun of you a little bit.
Makes me sad. Make fun of who?
You. So, of all things Steve has gotten into recently, Steve has decided that he wants to get back into...
War of the Ring. Not really back into it. I was never into it.
Yeah. He wants to get into War of the Ring. So he has decided to dive deep. My friends, dive deep into the dungeons of Moria and pull out some Lord of the Rings figures.
And Mordor.
Into the dungeons of Angmar. Or Angbad. I don't know, whatever one it is.
Dolgaldor.
All right, Steve. So tell us, what made you go with this decision to dive back into the realms of J.R.R. Tolkien?
Well... As you know,
I take it that chocolate log ain't that good.
It's not a chocolate. I just took a bite of the Rolito de Guayaba. And
it looks like a big fruit roll up.
Yeah, and it's got lemons on it.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. I don't like it. Like,
I don't like it.
I don't know if I could say it tastes bad because it just tastes so fucking alien. Yeah. I'm not a fan. It's fucking bad. All right, I'm saying it tastes bad now. Yeah, it's sticking in my mouth. I need to take a sip of this coffee before I talk. It's horrible.
That's so horrible.
Oh my god. Ugh. All right. So, as you know, I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan. I've been a Lord of the Rings fan for a very long time. I was a Lord of the Rings fan when I worked at GW with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I never got into the game because I was operating under the false perception that the game was really bad, that Lord of the Rings was really bad. And that was reinforced, as I've said before, how Games Workshop taught us the game, which was unbelievably terrible. If anyone has played Lord of the Rings, we had to basically play with 2,000-point armies with a maximum of 1 hero in full skirmish rules. So think about that if you've played the game before, and now you might know why I hated it so much.
Yeah, I mean,
and it was a mandatory tournament as well.
Well, not only that, I mean, my bigger problems with Lord of the Rings came about because of the maxing out of size. It's a problem with every tabletop game. People just want to play with bigger and bigger armies.
It breaks under its own weight.
Lord of the Rings especially. Also, the armies themselves were not, the stat lines were not balanced.
Right.
Elves of the First Age were redonkulips.
Right. But again, Lord of the Rings was made to be a scenario game. So the Elves of the First Age should be playing against more points in orcs.
Yeah.
Like, there should be more orcs to fight the Elves of the First Age. Yeah. That's the whole deal.
Which, in a real balanced game, would have priced them out. Like, the elves, like, let's say they cost 10 points a figure. Reality surely costs 20 points a figure because they're so rare, but they're so good.
Right. But in the age where they're from, they're not rare.
Yeah.
They're fucking
common. I mean, that's once again, part of the problem with balancing out that stuff. And same thing, dwarves are really hard to kill in that game.
Dwarves are really hard to kill, but they're really slow. Like, there's a lot of things in the game is fixed by playing a scenario for your tournament.
Yeah.
Like, if you play if you play the dwarf army, your army's gonna be tough as nails and super fucking hard to kill. Like, super hard to kill. Dwarves are tough as fuck. But if you're playing in a scenario-based tournament, which all tournaments should be, period, for any game, You'll probably win. If you're really good, you'll probably win 2 out of 3 because that third one you're going to lose because it's some sort of mobility. Yeah. Scenario.
I mean, and that's what it should be. It's not quite. It's better balanced than a lot of like Age of Sigmar. But it's
definitely
not
better balanced than no balance. But
yeah,
that's the thing. I'm collecting all of the old books. They improved the balance over time.
Yeah.
When they released the big book, the One Ring book.
Yeah.
They normalized stat lines, adjusted points, yeah. So the Elves of the First Age weren't as insane as they were originally. Yeah.
And then also War of the Ring we put out is one of the best. Just one of the best mass combat battle games that you can ever play.
Right. I was super excited about War of the Ring. And you have Battle Hosts, don't you?
I do have the Battle Host book, yeah. Which I was, I don't know where I picked that up. I think I got it from Half Price Books.
You have Half Price Books. I saw it on our Facebook.
Okay. Yeah, I was, I have a lot of that stuff.
So, like, it's just.
I have, like, my army for, I have two armies for that game. I have three. I have an Easterling army. I have an Easterling Haradrim army.
Yeah.
I have a
the Fallen Realms.
Yeah, Fallen Realms. I have an Elf of the First Age army, of course. and I do have a what's it called? A Riders of Rohan army.
Oh, sick.
As well.
I do think that the Elves of the First Age and War of the Ring. I mean, War of the Ring is like there's balance issues, of course, but now, I don't think War of the Ring is anywhere near the balance issues that the skirmish game originally.
Now that game, and we've talked about it before, has died for a couple different reasons. One, they priced themselves out on a lot of shit when they switched over to fine crap or fail crap. They the figures, the models that you got, like, because you have to have a banner but you need a banner and a hero and a hornblower, whatever else have you. Those box sets were $75 for three figures. It was retarded. That was ridiculous.
Well, the metal ones were cheap. The metal ones were 25.
Yeah, it was just 25. That was it.
Yeah.
So the pricing. Two was the way that they shipped a lot of their plastics. Because in War of the Ring, it's like you don't have a unit, a mixed formation unit. You have, this is a bowman unit.
Yep.
This is a swordsman unit. This is a spearman unit. Now, in order to have a unit of that, you have to buy like 5 boxes.
Right. But I mean, that was Workshop's.
They
wanted people to buy more, but they, it's like there's a lot of things that they didn't cover rules in. But like, I mean, that was still when Workshop was a little gentler, I would say. But like they were on the way.
Yeah, that was
their turn, their heel turn.
Yeah, that was
bring it back to wrestling. That was their heel turn.
Yeah, that was like it was almost impossible to field a lot of different armies because you didn't get what you needed.
If you and I are playing, and you field a unit, three companies of Men of Minas Tirith, and all three of those companies have 4 archers in the front row, they're obviously an archer unit. It doesn't matter if the guys behind them have spears or...
I know. I'm just saying, like, yeah, that annoys me.
But they didn't point out that, like, you need them all to be archers to make the unit. Because the way the box sets worked, they were designed for the skirmish game. So when you buy a box of Men of Minas Tirith, you get some spearmen.
Oh, no. I know
you
how
get
it
some
works.
Swordsmen. Well, I'm talking to the listeners, baby.
I'm OCD'd, man. if I say I have a unit of archers, they have to be archers
right.
for me. I mean, that's how OCD I am.
But that's
like,
fine.
I also have to touch the light switch 4 times in order to make sure that I don't die during the night.
But that's fine. But there's still the ability for someone who's normal to be like, these are clearly archers.
So let me ask you this. Who are you planning to play this game against?
I don't know. I have 3 armies.
Yeah.
I have the fighting Uruk-hai. I have the Haradrim.
Yeah.
And I have the men of Minas Tirith.
I know our friend Dave has an Uruk-hai army.
I'll probably be doing Rohan as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to have the armies, so I'll play against anyone who wants to play because they need zero commitment.
Zero commitment. Oh, there you go.
It's what I want to do eventually with Warmaster, where it's just like, I'll be like, hey, you want to go over and play Warmaster?
I don't have any Warmaster models.
Oh, I got you covered. Oh,
I have so much Warmaster.
Yeah. And then, I was looking around. It seems like this is an interesting point. I was looking around. It seems like the local scene for everything except, like, workshop-wise, everything except for 40K is dead.
Yeah.
Everything. There used to be a decent amount of people playing Lord of the Rings and a decent amount of people playing fantasy.
No, Lord of the Rings is it's like mythical unicorn.
Fucking gone.
Yeah, that's but they killed it themselves. I know a lot of the guys who used to do Bilbo's Big Bash and they moved to Bolt Action. That's they do Operation Sting now. That's what they call it. But the Sting is in the Bilbo's sword.
I'm really sorry that they that they play butt action.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you that they moved from. They used to do Bilbo's birthday bash, and no one played it anymore. So they decided to go to, good old fashioned bolt action. So,
I took a small bite of that that cone shaped thing.
Yeah,
I spit it back into the cone and threw it away.
Yeah, no good.
Oh, it was bad. Tastes like fucking floor cleaner.
Drink some more coffee there, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's the way I feel like with a lot of games. I have so many dead games at home, but I have, you know, I have enough to do two armies if I wanted to play.
That's my point. And I want to have the collection. And I want to paint it. I want to put it together. I want to have armies ready to go. And I'm going to get one of those. I'm looking for a nice display cabinet. There's the IKEA ones, which are cool, but they only have the three levels.
You know what I did for mine? Because that's what
I use. I need smaller.
Okay. So what I did for mine is, this is Joe being Joe. I bought those cabinets, the IKEA $60 ones or whatever they cost.
With the three shelves.
With the three shelves.
Yeah.
I went out, got a bunch of old windows that I found. I went on Craigslist, got a bunch of giant plate glass windows, took it home, cut them myself into shelves, got some eyeline sinkers and put those right on there, popped them there. Now I got eight shelves in my case. Why? Because I'm ridiculous.
I'm probably not going to do that.
No, I would not recommend it either.
I don't think that's going to happen. I want them on display, and then I have a bunch of friends who are super interested in miniatures games. I would say like majority of my friend group. I have a group who's there's a few who play minis games. They have whatever they play it. The larger group are interested in miniatures games, but either stopped playing, never played. Whenever, because they're not into the commitment part of a miniatures game.
Were you playing that game? Why aren't you playing Magic?
Yeah. Well, I actually have a friend who's like super into Magic. Like he's super into Magic, and I always talk to him about like.
I've always thought about getting into other games, maybe Yu-Gi-Oh.
No, he's always like he's like, man, dude, fucking 40K and looking Warhammer, that shit's fucking badass. But he's like, I can't paint. I don't know this. He's like, I suck at painting. I can't. You know, I can't play the game. So many people are locked out in their own minds of playing a miniatures game because they are quote unquote suck at painting.
Yeah.
But what they don't realize,
they should stay out of the hobby. What
they don't realize is that your artistic skills for the most part are fucking irrelevant when you're painting models.
Yeah.
Because painting models is its own skill set.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm pretty good at painting. I fucking can't draw a goddamn picture to save my life, but I can paint some models and sell them for a decent amount of money.
Yeah.
And like I show people models and they're like, wow, that's really good. You must be really good at art. And I'm like, nope, I'm really bad actually. So I think that's going to give me a bridge to be like, hey, do you like Lord of the Rings? Let's fucking play this Lord of the Rings game. Like, let's do it. And I'm building my own table. I'm doing a three part. I'm doing 2x4s.
Yeah.
I'm doing my own, like, I'm probably just going to make it out of pink foam and then cover it with a grass mat from, the railroad company that make all the Woodland Scenics.
Woodland Scenics. By the way, I picked up a mat from Cigar Box Minis. Highly recommend it.
Oh, Cigar Box. Very good. So I'm going to do pink polystyrene. I'll cut channels and I'll cut it up and then I'll layer it with the mats from
my newest piece of terrain I built, by the way.
This is for butt action, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a rune chapel.
God damn it. It's nice, though.
Yeah. It's big.
So that I'm going to do that. I'm going to do, because then I have a modular, I can do a 2x4, or I can do a 6x4, you know, nice setup. And I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to mold into the scenery and stuff. Because, like, I actually really like building terrain, but it's not something I do often or get to do often. So I'm gonna go ham on that. And I'm gonna.
The problem with building terrain is once you get that bug, man, it's hard to get out of your system.
Well, for me, the biggest thing with terrain is, like, it's just storage.
Yeah.
Like, I want to build a lot of terrain, but, like, it's not that it's impossible to store. It's just unwieldy.
It is very unwieldy.
Because, I don't want a bunch of huge pieces to be taking up a bunch of fucking space, you know?
And absolutely. Yep. That's why I like the Cigar Box mats, or just the mats in general, just because it's like, roll it out, put everything up, you're good.
Right. Yeah. So I'm going to be working on that. But yeah, But yes, I mean, like I'm super passionate about Tolkien and Middle Earth. Like, you know that.
If I say I'm super passionate about one thing, it's Tolkien.
Yeah, I would. I'd also say I'm passionate about burgers. I fucking love hamburgers. Well, I was talking about that yesterday. I was thinking, like, I don't know why.
Do you know that people in Europe think we're weird for putting cheese on a hamburger?
Well, we put everything on hamburgers.
I know,
so.
But people like, but I mean, like, cheese. Like, that's like, there's nothing more American than a cheeseburger.
It's kind of strange.
I mean, I don't think it's strange.
No, I mean, it's strange that they think it's weird to put cheese
on a
burger.
Yeah, I know.
Like, that's weird.
Yeah.
What kind of burgers do they eat? Do they just eat like? Do they just eat one thing of meat with no toppings between two pieces of bread?
It's got to be like some Euro burgers type thing. Like, we invented the damn
Euro burger with an umlaut over the U.
Yeah, we invented the damn hamburger. We know what to fucking do with the damn hamburger.
I think the Germans did that.
It's just named after
the World's Fair.
No. But they were in America.
But it was at the World's Fair.
America. No, Americans invented the hamburger.
But it was at the World's Fair.
No.
Germans.
Americans invented it. Maybe German immigrants to America invented it, but you know what? It was invented in fucking America.
You know who stole, innovated, and crushed the concept of the hamburger once again?
Who?
The Japanese. Their hamburgers are out of control good.
Yeah, they
there's a place called Gabuto Burger.
Yeah.
We gotta go there sometime.
Where's it at?
It used to be in Mitsuo Marketplace, but they moved out of their little, they had a little kiosk.
Yeah.
And it was funny because anytime ASEN or any anime-based convention happened, if we happened to be in the area of Mitsuo and, like, stopped, there'd be a goddamn line of, like, a fucking 100 people waiting for Gabuto Burger.
I'll give it a try. But I'll still say this. You know where Gabuto Burger's based? America.
Which is fair. Fair point. I'm just saying. But then
do you get your squidding buns in there, too?
That's kind of the Japanese thing, though. It's like they take something that's good, and they're like, we're going to make this better.
Yeah, I mean, they do a good job, but you know what? America, still best. Still, we still took care of the American burger. It's the best thing in the world.
Your pride in being American is misplaced, sir.
Because I'm proud to eat a cheeseburger. Because at least I know it's free.
It's not free. It cost you
about
$4.99 and 50 cents extra for cheese.
I don't want some bacon and a fried egg and maybe some guacamole.
Fried egg, that's the Japanese. Yeah. They're huge on the fried egg
egg. Everyone puts a fried egg on a burger nowadays.
Yeah, but you know who started it? Fucking Japanese.
I doubt it. Americans.
Nope.
It was all
wrong.
Done by Kumas.
No, America's garbage.
America's
garbage, sir.
Food is amazing.
Yeah, we have no. That's the thing. America's food is not amazing.
Oh, wait.
Where we live.
Where we live has got some
amazing food.
Yeah.
But fucking everywhere else in the United States of America, fucking their food sucks. It sucks.
I will give you that there are...
We live in a food mecca. Yeah. That's the thing. If you're coming to the States, if you just want to vacation in the States for some reason because you're psychotic, number one, do not come if you're not Caucasian. The police will kill you. They will kill you. So that's step one.
Yeah.
I would welcome you here. It'd be great. We could hang out. But the police in the United States of America will kill you. So take us
be
off.
Be careful.
Take us off your trip list if you're not Caucasian.
Well, Chicago in general, you'll just get shot.
Well, yeah. Well, Chicago in general, you'll get shot. Yeah. But that's just in general. You can be white. You'll still be shot.
Come to Chicago for the food.
Stay
because you're shot.
Yeah, stay because you've been murdered. our area, come to the Chicago suburbs.
I mean, like, Chicago in general, I work in downtown Chicago. I always eat good. That's why I'm on a diet right now, because I've eaten too good.
I've eaten too well. But we have so many different food styles.
Yeah.
Around. You could do a food tour easily of Chicago.
Yeah. Actually, and, you know what's really getting big out here on the burbs is miso shops.
Like ramen shops?
Not ramen shops. That's what I meant. Not miso, ramen.
Yeah, the ramen places. Yeah, they're awesome. They're the Japanese fast food. I went to Kuma's in Schaumburg.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've been to their original location. It's pretty good.
Very good. I got a...
It's a little overpriced.
I got a Plague Bringer.
It's a little overpriced.
Yeah, their burgers should probably be about $4 cheaper. But
yeah.
It was a big burger.
It's a big burger. Yeah,
yeah,
and
it's
the
a big
food
burger.
The food is quality, so...
Yeah, the food's good. It's a little overpriced,
Are they open grill in Schaumburg, or is it...
I everything's there. So
I mean, but could you see into the kitchen?
Yeah.
Okay,
everything's open. So
yeah,
it's good.
All right, so let's talk about some other gaming stuff before we.
I just want to talk about food.
I know. I don't want to talk about food because I'm on a goddamn diet. Okay,
well, I can give you this clown.
I've lost 20 pounds. You know what I am all the time? Hungry. I'm starving.
You should just eat more vegetables.
I eat so many vegetables.
If you're hungry, just eat a fucking giant salad.
I do, and I. Yeah. I'm still hungry all the time.
I'm sorry.
So let's just talk about, let's hit a couple things. We got some few, like about 10 minutes left. All right, so
I fucking love Lord of the Rings. I can't wait.
Fucking love Lord of the Rings.
I'm fucking excited. And you know what? You know the best thing about all of my Lord of the Rings miniatures? They're highly collectible.
Conan, Rise of the Monsters Kickstarter. Fully painted figures?
I like it.
$99 though for 16 figures.
It is pricey.
You get a lot of shit in it though.
It is pricey. I'd
for
say
each starter set you get like a bunch of tokens and terrain and shit like that.
If I had $100 to literally set on fire, I would buy it.
I mean, it's better than setting your on fire because you at least get pre-painted figures.
Which is why, that's why it's better.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sold on because I don't like pre-painted shit, but at the same time, some nice stuff. If you're doing Hibernian Age stuff, if you're doing...
They do look pretty good.
If you're doing Hibernian Age RPGs, anything like that.
There are some pre-painted miniatures out there. I would say they're few and far between, especially nowadays because only WizKids NECA does them. But back in the Mage Knight days, like when there was WizKids making lots of figures, there was D&D making lots of figures. There were a few you could find that were just a wash and a few highlights away from looking pretty nice.
I fucking love the King Conan versus the Giant Snake.
Yeah, it's fucking badass.
And the mammoth is pretty cool too. Yeah. I mean, like
get the mammoth.
When I say 16 figures,
it's not 16 man size.
Yeah, you get like a giant pre painted mammoth, which is awesome looking.
It's very nice. I wasn't just speaking out of my ass when I said like $100 to burn. Like if you have an extra hundo, this is a wise investment of that hundo because I think that's a good. I think it looks really fun.
Legion of Set. Oh, you get Skelebones.
And I'm disappointed that Conan is the only thing that really like
dun, bum, 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 bum,
is in the genre. Bum, bum, but I mean, bum, it has to be because it's the banner of the genre. But Sword and Sorcery is fucking great. What I want is a really good Sword and Sorcery RPG. I've heard lots of things about Barbarians of Lemuria, but I haven't played it. How do you feel about Sword and Sorcery?
You know me. I love Sword. I like reading it more than anything. I like short stories. I like King Kull.
You know what? I just picked up Kull the Conqueror on Blu-ray with Kevin Sorbo.
So bad.
It's got Sorbo.
And Tia Carrera.
I'll watch anything with Sorbo.
He's such an awful person, though.
You know what? He didn't used to be.
And then he got hurt.
And then he became a fucking piece of shit.
Became a dope addict.
The dope addict was fine. It was after he got... It was once he found the biggest dope of all, religion, he became a big piece of shit. It's true. Most people, when they find religion, they become a fucking asshole.
By the way, the great thing about my new car is I could take that USB port that's got all the death metal and just plug it into my car.
This is my death metal. Mine.
Oh, you get the death metal?
I don't know. Check the note.
No, the note says I get the death metal.
Fuck!
Because
I already know it all.
I was going to say, you probably own it all. I subscribe to Lead Adventure Forum, and they have like a really cool section all about like Conan style board game. A lot of it's more narrative based. Right. Like they don't have a lot of like good rule sets for that era.
That's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of it is just like if it's not specifically Conan, there's not. Like Sword and Sorcery was starting to get big in the 80s, which was cool because of Conan. Unfortunately, you had dudes like Roger Corman making the movies, so they're...
Hey, don't talk bad about Beastmaster.
he didn't make Beastmaster.
I know, but I'm just saying, don't talk bad about Beastmaster. I know that's where you're going.
The fucking ferrets.
What's the movie?
Roger Corman made a fucking movie that had two sequels.
Was it Deathstalker? I think that's what it's called.
No, it's not Deathstalker. It's something like that, though.
What's the one with the three-bladed sword?
The three-bladed sword?
Yeah! God damn it.
Do you mean Krull?
No, not Krull.
Krull had the fucking boomerang.
The glaive.
Thing.
He had the glaive.
Yeah.
So don't talk fucking bad about Krull either.
Well, Krull's cool, but Krull's not really Sword and Sorcery. Krull's like a weird kind of sci-fi quasi movie. I like the Cyclops in that movie. You can see his own death.
Yeah.
That's the best. The Cyclops to see the future, but they can see their own death. That's pretty fucking hardcore metal.
No, it's like Krull's an amazing. It's also got Liam Neeson in it.
Krull's a really good movie. But you know, like Sword and Sorcery is just cool. Like, you know, I want an RPG that captures like the fast action. Like, you know, you're fucking. Like I said, I've heard Barbarians of Lemuria is good. So if any listener has played Barbarians of Lemuria, let me know if it's a real good Sword and Sorcery system. Because Sword and Sorcery is about, fucking finding your treasure, squandering that shit, going on another adventure to find more treasure, fucking rapid paced sword fights, banging whoever.
Okay, it's the
whatever.
The movie with the three bladed sword is The Sword and the Sorcerer.
Okay.
And you got to see this fucking sword. It's fucking awesome.
And Roger Corman did make a movie called The Sorceress, which does not have a sorceress in it. Did you know that?
Look at that fucking three bladed sword.
It's called The Sorceress, and there's no sorceress.
What the fuck? This guy looks like he's taking a poop.
But he's got a three-bladed sword.
It's not really bladed. It's just three swords
stuck together. Yeah.
It's three swords with one handle.
Something tells me that, like, there's at least that came from an RPG game where the guy was like, I'm gonna triple wield, and you're like, you can't. You only have two hands. He's like, no, I want to triple wield. Like, I want to have with one sword. I want to have three swords with one sword. Can I do that?
That's so bad.
I'm gonna commission a guy to make me a three bladed sword like that.
Oh,
I want
man.
Two of them so I can dual wield six swords.
So bad. Yeah, sword and sorcery is fucking sweet. I love sword and sorcery.
Yeah, I mean that's.
I like high fantasy too, but the problem I have with high fantasy, a lot of high fantasy, it's like. Why don't you just play Tolkien?
I think the best game for Sword and Sorcery, the best minis game that ever came out for Sword and Sorcery is probably Confrontation. Confrontation is really close to good Sword and Sorcery. With the exception of maybe, like, the Griffins in terms of, like,
Confrontation
feel.
Didn't have elves, did it?
Yeah.
Did it?
No, yeah, they had
wood
elves.
I can barely remember anything about Confrontation other than the werewolves and the fucking undead were really cool.
Them.
Yeah.
I remember
you're
them.
The only one.
I'm still mad I sold my undead,
but
whatever.
You can fucking narrate like Galadriel, be like, in the ages past, some things were forgotten that should not have been, and your hand just reaches down and grabs a confrontation model. You're painting a wolf. The camera's panning around you in a very epic shot.
Well, that's what we're talking about on the Thor the Dark World podcast that me and Kevin did for Comic Book Logic. We were talking, like, it opens up with this climactic battle versus the Dark Elves, and I'm like, long ago, before the forging of the One Ring. It's like, yeah, that's exactly what this is.
I'm kind of sick of movies.
I just saw Vacation last night.
Was it good?
It was funny.
The remake? Oh, no, not the remake, the sequel.
Yeah.
The sequel.
It's definitely stands on its own. It's a hard R rating, so that definitely makes up for a lot of, like, the really shitty factor of it.
I guess
a lot
I,
of good dialogue.
I guess blockbusters are really killing me at this point because, like, they're fun and I like watching them. Like, I liked watching Jurassic World, but, like, I think they're all just easily digestible and completely forgettable.
Yeah, the problem
and that's not where I want to be with movies.
Hey, what was the main character's name in Jurassic World? The guy Chris Pratt played.
I actually don't
that's
know.
That's exactly my problem with that fucking movie.
But that's a lot of movies nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, like
the only reason you know all the names of all the fucking Avengers is because you already knew the names of Avengers.
Yeah, the
you know, Hawkeye, entirely forgettable. Most of the movie, entirely forgettable, except for the Vision. The Vision was very cool.
What about Hawkeye's wife on the farm?
Yeah, what the fuck was up with that? It's like a weird...
That's fucking Joss Whedon right there.
Weird, awkward character development.
Yeah. It's like...
It's funny, though.
No, the problem is that it's weird, awkward character development where it's supposed to go where he dies. That is what's supposed to happen in that fucking movie, and he does not die.
Yeah. Well...
Aside from... Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I'm kind of blockbustered out, but that's... It's July. We're supposed to be blockbustered out by July, and you're supposed to have, like, nothing but...
It's not even that. It's because I'm not. I like big movies. Like, big movies are cool. But
I like big butts.
Everyone does.
Yeah.
Like that. I don't even think that needs to be stated. It's. I want a new. Like, you remember the 80s, Joe?
Do you remember the 80s? Of course I do. It's shoved down my throat every day.
Do you remember when franchises the genesis of most of our favorite franchises happened?
I was very young at that point. The first big blockbuster I can remember seeing in the theater, I remember seeing Back to the Future Part 2 in a theater. I think that was 87 or 88. I remember most of the year.
I mean, you don't have to necessarily have been exposed to it in the 80s. Like, for me, I was way too young to watch Aliens when it came out.
In 1989, I remember...
I fucking love the Alien franchise.
1989 was the best year for movies, even when I was a kid. It still is one of the best years, because that was the year I saw Batman, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Ghostbusters 2, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, UHF. I saw all of them in the
fucking
theater.
I love UHF.
Yeah.
We got it all on UHF.
Conan the Librarian.
Gandhi. Yeah, Gandhi too. I'll have a steak, medium rare.
My favorite.
So good.
My favorite thing, and I still say this every once in a while, I don't know why, I go, turtle, nature suction cup.
We don't need no stinking
badgers. Spatula City. Bring that up every once
in a while. Yeah, but
Weird Al Yankovic, one of the best concerts I've ever seen live.
Fucking, there's no... like the movies don't stick with you. In my opinion, I mean, this is all obviously, it's all subjective, but the movies don't stick with you like they used to. Like Terminator 2, I will fucking watch the movie. Any RoboCop, I will watch the movie. I just watched RoboCop yesterday because it was on TV. I was like, fuck yeah, RoboCop. You know,
actually, that's the name of your Tumblr, I believe.
Fuck yeah, RoboCop.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But they don't have the impact and the grip they used to have. You know, it's just they're so digestible and so forgettable. And that's the problem I have. Like, I don't want my movies to be forgettable. I want to have, like, I want to be like.
You want to have an experience.
Yeah, I want to be like, yes, dude, I can't. And I want to be super excited. Because, like, I'm going to rang on Marvel because that's the most the movies that come out. Like, I don't dislike the Marvel movies. Like, I thought Guardians of the Galaxy was very fun. Mm-hmm. I liked the Avengers, but the Vision was excellent in the Avengers, and James Spader as Ultron did a lot for me. But even at the end of the day, like, while I liked those movies, I'm not excited about the next Avengers. No. I'm just not.
I'm excited about, like, the stuff that doesn't have sequels coming out. I'm excited about Doctor Strange. I'm excited about Black Panther. I'm excited about that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but even then, you know, did you see Ant-Man?
Yeah.
You probably already saw Doctor Strange in that case.
Meh.
Like, their solo movies are so similar. They follow the same structure.
A little bit.
They're like, the hero is pretty much trained. The villain needs to get up to snuff to fight the hero. Or they do the clone villain where it's like, this is the hero. Yeah, this is the villain who's the exact same fucking character as the hero.
We talk about that quite a bit
like
on the podcast.
Like the Hulk. I liked the Hulk with Edward Norton, but I mean, I have an unnatural attraction for Edward Norton vehicles. But, you know, who does the Hulk fight? Well, I thought it was cool because I like Abomination, but it still falls into the, like, here's the hero. Here's the hero's villain who is exactly the hero. They're fighting now. Yeah.
That happens all the time.
Like, the leader would have been a much better choice with his giant fucking head.
Nah, Hulk needed to punch stuff after the Ang Lee Hulk. That's part of the reason.
That is true. But I think the Hulk specifically, I'll give a pass because the Ang Lee Hulk was so bad. Like, Sad Hulk was not fun. Like, Sad Hulk's not supposed to happen. Sad Bruce Banner, yes. Sad Hulk no.
All right, let's talk about a couple things just so we can wrap it up.
And you know what? Do the same for your D&D campaigns, for your fucking RPGs. Your players should be fucking stoked to play the next session. They shouldn't just be like, and here's another box of treasure. Let's stab what's in front of it.
What do you think about the Kaitan Demon Engine of Korn? They finally gave legs to the truck. Yeah.
I like it.
No, I saw that's what they should have done in the first place.
I've got a fucking serious problem. I'm not gonna do it though. But, like, you know what's growing on me?
What?
Warhammer 40,000.
No. You know why you're gonna hold on that? Because 30K is coming out.
Oh really?
Yeah. You gotta buzz someone in.
I gotta buzz someone in.
Yeah.
Wait, 30K?
Yeah. You not heard about this?
I saw the plastic sprues.
Yeah, I'll talk about this in a second as soon as you buzz whoever's in. All right. But anyway, yeah, so 30K is supposedly going to be the next game from Warhammer.
Really?
It's going to be.
Is it the new edition?
No. It's going to be literally the three main games of Games Workshop are now going to be Age of Sigmar, 40K, and 30K.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. 30K is going to be its own separate box set. Those sprues are going to be part of the box set. This is all hearsay and rumor.
Okay.
There's kind of some truth to it, but I don't like to speculate too much because it's Games Workshop, so you never know.
Sure.
Age of Sigmar, I would have never predicted in a billion years that that's what they were planning on doing
with the
game.
That's the thing. We saw the rumors and we made our own predictions. Like, you and I were hoping. I mean, I was hoping, and I think you shared the sentiment that it was going to be War of the Ring for fantasy.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been the nut.
Yeah.
but it would carry on.
Yeah, no, this is going to be more of, it's going to be Age of Sigmar for 40K is what they're going to do. So instead of turning 40K into Age of Sigmar, they're turning a version of 40K into Age of Sigmar. Supposedly, it's going to be like a 4-to-10-page rule set, just like Age of Sigmar. All the figures that are going to be released are going to be like Age of Sigmar's releases. It's going to be like that.
Just 30K?
Just 30K.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, which is, I think, a little better because the Forge World books already exist for the Horus Heresy, so might as well fucking just play Horus Heresy with the figures if they're going to be cheaper.
Yeah, that seems pretty cool.
The figures do look cool.
When you go to a 40K tournament, you play against six people, you're playing against six Space Marines anyway.
Yeah, so
what
does it fucking matter?
You might as well make it Horus Heresy.
Cut out the stupid elves, cut out the stupid space elves, cut out the stupid anime figures, cut out the stupid orcs, and cut out the stupid...
The tower, not anime. Their shit's boxy. anime is never boxy. It's always sleek, baby.
Whatever. And cut out the stupid ass tank players. Cut them out as well. You like tanks? Go play bolt action, you idiot. Yeah.
Fuck off.
Fuck off.
We don't need you in our game about giant mutant men.
Yeah. It's like, oh, your guy kind of looks like, you know, well, my Talaran Desert Force is all metal. I made it during second edition. Well, good for you. Fuck off.
Yeah, good for you. You're not in this game.
You're not in this game.
They're not Space Marines. Beat it.
Beat it. Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, like, what's honestly stopped me from getting into 40K again is, the price is outrageous. But
outrageous.
But I can mitigate it by buying, you know,
used,
broken down shit used on eBay, right? And the starter set. Like, I would just play Korn, and
just
I would
wait for the game to self implode and then just buy up the shit cheap.
Yeah, there's that.
Actually, I like how you put that for fantasy, but yet I've never noticed. I think you just haven't seen the prices for fantasy in a long time.
What I did is I did the sold listings. I wasn't looking at what things were currently on.
Okay.
I was looking at what sold, because specific example, a 14 fully assembled, not painted. So, you know, if it's not painted, you get a bump in price. If it's painted shittily, you get a decrease in price. If it's painted well, you get a double bump in price.
Yeah.
Unpainted, 14 Tomb King Chariots plus a unit of 10 unpainted archers for $90.
Yeah. But that's Tomb Kings.
But still. That's a crazy low price.
Yeah. I mean,
14 fucking chariots and a unit of archers. That's $35 or $40 for every three chariots for MSRP and $35 for half the archers MSRP. Like, holy fuck. Like, that's crazy value. And then I saw a giant Empire army go for like $300.
Yeah. Full army stuff doesn't go for a lot anymore. I mean, it's been down for a while, most fantasy stuff, just because of how bad 8th edition was. Which is really funny, because I was talking to I took my daughter to her ballet class, and a guy brought his daughter to the ballet class, and it was a dude I knew from the Games Workshop for years. And we're just laughing and talking about it, and he's like, yeah, this Age of Sigmar is kind of bullshit. It's nowhere near as good as 8th edition. I'm looking at him like, what the fuck are you talking about? 8th edition was terrible.
Yeah, he's fucking drinking that Kool-Aid hard.
Yeah.
But there you go. Even a Kool-Aid drinker who loved 8th edition thinks Age of Sigmar is bad.
But aside from that.
So and the other thing, too, is like, I'm interested, again, it's just like War Machine Hordes. I'm super interested in War Machine Hordes at 25 and 35 points. Nobody plays those points.
No.
I'm interested in 40K at 1,500 points or less. No one fucking plays that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm interested in Warhammer Fantasy. Skirmish warbands. Nobody plays that. So, fuck it. I'm going to play War of the fucking Ring, and I'm going to fucking make my own goddamn armies.
You do that. All right.
And then, hey, we can battle.
Yeah, we can.
I can fucking bring my fucking fighting Urukai against your Rohan.
Yeah. It'd be good. I'd have to put it all together. I have so much crap.
Same. Let's do it. Let's do a War of the Ring battle.
I got so many projects going on right now, Steve. I am not going to be putting together
Come
War of the Rings.
Adepticon.
Maybe Adepticon.
You can do an Adepticon.
No, I'm not going to do an Adepticon. I got to play my bolt action at Adepticon.
Fuck bolt action. The fluff is stupid. Play a game with good background.
I love when you said that the fluff for bolt action is stupid.
It's
that
bad.
Made me laugh.
It's bad fluff.
I mean, the one bad guy you fight loses halfway through the war, and he spends the next 2 years on a defensive retreat.
Yeah, it's a terrible background. That's not a villain. He's a bitch.
So we were. That's pretty funny. go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me.
Did
on Twitter.
You sell my Japanese?
No, I have not. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can't follow Steve anywhere.
Yes, like, I'm off the grid.
But you could talk with him on our Facebook page.
If you post on Facebook, I'll talk to you.
Yeah, or you could also get in direct contact with me if you want to send us some stuff in the mail so that we can talk about it on air, or just want to get rid of some crap, give us some Mexican candy.
Random thought. I couldn't find it. I was looking for it. But do you remember way back in the day when 6th edition Warhammer Fantasy was new, and there were a bunch of nudes, like fuck porno pictures of a lady, and 6th edition fantasy boxes were in the pictures, and they found out who that lady was and who her husband was or boyfriend was because of the 6th edition boxes of fantasy, because they shouldn't have had it at the time, and the guy got fired? That's like a legend I heard.
I have no idea about any of this. So if anyone knows anything about that, let us know.
Yeah.
If you want to let us know, you can contact me through joe at planetarbitrary.com.
Yes, the legend of the dude who got fired because he had nudie porno pictures of him and his wife / girlfriend, and he was identified because he had 6th edition Warhammer product in the picture, which was prototype, not available for sale.
Dan Delanois knows. I bet you I could ask him.
Dan Delanois knows a lot of things.
Dan
Delanois also knows how to have a pretty nice beard.
Yes.
We love you, Dan.
Yes. Like the Facebook page. Also, you can like the Facebook page for Planet Arbitrary, where we also put up the podcast for Play On, which is going to have some Pat's going to have some rotating hosts for a while. That's going to go on with him.
It's going to be me and Pat
for a while. Yeah,
it's going to be me and Pat forever.
Forever.
Like Katamari forever.
Yeah,
I'm going to roll Pat up into my life, and I'm going to roll him to be a shooting star in the sky.
Yeah, that'd be good. And you could also, what was I going to say? I just got a weird image of Steve rolling over Pat.
Rolling up.
Yeah.
So I'm rolling Pat.
Oh, you're rolling Pat.
Yes, I'm rolling Pat into objects.
I thought you were the ball that was getting rolled.
No, I'm rolling the ball, and it gets Pat, and then I roll up other things with Pat, and it becomes a star in the sky.
Oh, okay.
Katamari. Yeah.
I always see me as more of Parappa the Rappa.
I mean, we could rap together as well. Punch, kick, it's all in the mind. If you want to test me, I'm sure you'll find that the dance I'm going to teach you is a lesson that's sure to beat you.
We are doing the 100th episode soon, so if you have any old classic bits...
We have to play the old opening.
We will play the old opening. I will guarantee you the old opening will be on there.
Fuck yeah.
Speaking of which, it'll probably get taken down from our YouTube channel, Game Classy on YouTube, Game Classy Podcast, or Game Class. I don't remember which one it is on YouTube, but if you want to listen to it, you can just find it.
We don't have any of the old openings on our channel.
No, we don't.
Not one. It starts at episode 54, which I would say is kind of our better stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely hit our stride.
I listened to our early casts. They were bad.
They're terrible.
They were real bad.
They're all sucking the dick at GW.
I mean, our cast is not fantastic at all by any means.
No.
But our old casts were real bad.
Yeah.
I'm surprised we have anyone listening.
I go back and I listen every once in a while to something or other, and I'll be like, I still agree. That was a good model. I don't know what Steve was talking about.
No, dude, fuck that.
Steve's a moron.
Those fucking, that high elf chariot is the stupidest. I know that's what you're talking about.
I love that thing. It's so cool
looking. Here's the problem I have with the chariot. And I eloquated
it's magic.
My description and complaints were very poor, and I my arguments were bad, and I agree. I hate saying you're right about anything ever, but you called me out on that cast about why, you demanded I explain why it was bad, and I didn't.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't. And that was my bad. You got me. You called me out. But here's my issue with that model. We're throwing it back. The fact that it's a fucking eagle pulling it, it's maddening. Like, if they went fucking Starjammer, like, the eagle is the problem. If you take the eagle out and you just make it a flying fuck, because the design of the ship is a fucking Starjammer ship.
Yeah.
It is a straight up fucking D&D Starjammer ship. If you take the eagle out and you put just the ship on the base and it's flying, it's fucking awesome. That's the difference. That's how you make a terrible model, the eagle pulling it being the... And they're on the same plane. Like, the eagle's on the same fucking plane. It doesn't make... Like, the eagle should be above it if it's pulling it like that. Even if it's magic, it should be above it.
I'll agree with you that it could be cooler if it was just a flying boat.
And there
but
you go.
I still like it with the eagle. I still think it looks kind
of
cool.
It is a fucking bolt thrower. They're going to shoot the eagle in the back of the head.
Well, that's why you get a trained high elf on there. If it was a goblin, yes, you'd have to roll. And if it was rolled a one, you would have shot the eagle.
Because your army has rules that make it bad for no reason.
Yeah.
It's like, what? That's for fun. No, it's not. It makes my army bad. So, yeah, that's my... Because I looked at it again.
I challenge anyone to find a guy who had fun playing an Oregon Goblin army.
You don't.
Yeah.
Their rules are just their penalty rules for no reason. But yeah, so that's my stance on that. And I didn't explain it well enough.
I get what you're saying, but I will respectfully disagree.
Yeah, the eagle bugs the shit. The eagle is nice looking.
Yeah.
By itself. What I would do if I was into the high elves, I would buy those chariots, take the eagles, make them my great eagles, and just use the fucking boat as my chariot.
If you were into high elves, I would have come in here and I would have just heard. It's just swinging from your fucking, you know,
some swinging from the rafters.
Yeah, because you're like you're holding like the Age of Sigmar white dwarf in your hand.
I have a couple printed out High Elf War Scrolls in my hand, and I'm just like, my tongue's lolling out of my mouth.
Suicide's not funny. If you have any issues, you contact Suicide Helpline.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, you could
fictional suicide's hilarious.
Fictional suicide,
only fictional.
Yes. The only other last thing is you could go to Our Game Classy on Reddit, where we have not killed a lion, so we're no one. The only lion we've ever killed is
that lion was a national treasure.
The only lion we ever wanted to kill was that bastard Scar.
Dude, that dentist is so fucked.
He's fucked.
That dude's fucked. Turns out you shouldn't kill national treasures.
Turns out you shouldn't kill lions.
Just saying.
You shouldn't. All right, so Steve. Until next time.
Game Classy.